Title of the message this morning is In His Steps. I desire your prayers that the Lord would minister to us as we look into the Word. I'd like to begin by relating something that happened in 1569. 1569, there was a young man, and his name was Dirk Willems, and he lived in Holland. And some of you may be acquainted with this story, but he was a Christian. He loved the Lord. And during that time period, and we've talked about this some here, but during that time period, even those that were professing to follow Christ, many of them believed in infant baptism. So a child would be born and they would baptize him as a child. And there was not a believer's baptism, or after they really got saved and gave their heart to God, they wouldn't be rebaptized. And so the Lord rebrought that truth to many, beginning with a few people, that once you get saved and give your heart to God, that you're to be baptized. And that is really where the Anabaptist movement came from. And so this man, Dirk Willems, he was rebaptized. He gave his heart to God and he was rebaptized. And there were people that came to his home that were baptized as well. And because of that truth, because he was baptized, again, he was put into prison. And while he was in prison, they didn't feed him very much, and he was malnourished. And one day he escaped from prison. And he took off running, and keep in mind, this was in Holland, and there was ice and snow in the area. And he began running, and there was a guard that took off after him to try to catch him, to capture him. And keep in mind, Dirk Willems, he lost some weight. He didn't weigh very much. And he was able to begin to run or cross a pond or a lake that was frozen over. But his guard weighed more than he did. And as he was escaping, he was walking across the ice, and the guard coming behind him fell through the ice. His leg broke through the ice and fell in. And Dirk Willems, he turned around and he saw the one that wanted to put him back in prison was in trouble. He was a Christian. Dirk was. You know what he did? He saved him. He turned around and he went back to his guard, the one that was trying to recapture him, and he helped him out. His guard was wanting to just let him go, but by this time, and there's a little bit of conflicting historical evidence of who else was there. Some say it was the mayor, some form of justice of the peace or marshal that was there as well. And they said, no, you capture him. They told him, you get him. And so his guard took Dirk Willems back to prison. And shortly thereafter, he was burned at the stake. That was in May 16, 1569. And the story says, just to give you a little more history behind it, they said that the adjoining town, at that time towns were very close together. They were, you know, very common communities. They said that while he was burning at the stake, the wind began to blow, and so the fire would not just directly consume him, and it extended and prolonged the torture. And they said that the adjoining town heard him crying out over 70 times, saying, "Oh my Lord, my God." Until finally one of the people in control of what was going on told someone just to kill him and get it over with. What would cause someone to turn around knowing that their life was at stake, knowing that they were going to be put to death? What is it that would cause someone to turn around and help their enemy that's in trouble? The reason that this man did that goes back to what we have been preaching on for the last few weeks over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. It said, "For even hereunto were ye called," and I trust that all of you are about able to quote this by now. "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." The reason Dirk turned around and went to help his enemy was because that is what Jesus would have done. And his purpose and his desire was to follow in the steps of his Savior, even at the expense of his life. And my question and my challenge to you this morning is this: in the way that you've been living, your life, the choices that we have been making, the things we've been doing, the attitudes that we have been carrying, are we following in the steps of Jesus Christ today? You have not been called to be molded into my image today. You have not been called to be molded into the image of a movement or a ministry. We have been called to conform our lives by the grace of God that we would become in the image, in the nature of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so are we following in His steps? This week, have we lived as Christ lived? Have we acted like Christ acted? Or are there areas in our life that we don't like to think about it too in depth? Because I thought of it this way. There are things that as we examine our life, there are sometimes probably that we begin to justify and excuse certain things in our life. In every area, folks, this is where it gets down very personal. I told you this series of messages was coming down to this place. This is personal this morning. In our individual lives, have I been following in the steps of Jesus? The things I'm doing, it does not matter what everybody else is doing. And I want to say this, it goes beyond what we come to service and go to camp meeting and hear preach. This goes way beyond all of those things now. When I examine my life and I know and I examine honestly the way that Jesus lived and the calling that He has given us, have I been living as Christ lived? Are there things in my life, or do I begin, and this is where I found it's easy, we can begin to overlook and begin to excuse things in our life and say, well, it's not sin. Is that really the point this morning? The point is, are we living like Christ lived? It's not about justifying attitudes in our life. It's not about excusing, saying, well, that's just the way I am. Get used to it. It's not about, well, I just enjoy doing it, so don't touch it. It's about when I examine my life before God and I say, if Jesus were here, would He do this? Would He talk this way? Would He have that kind of attitude? Would He watch that? Would He read that? Would He listen to that? Would He think that? Would He go down that path? Folks, it's not about church now this morning. This goes beyond theology. This gets down to where the rubber meets the road. This gets down to how I've been living my life. And I say, Lord, have I been following in His steps? You see, what price are we willing to pay? Dirk Willems was willing to give his life and he was burned because of it. Because he turned around and helped his enemy. And too many times we have our little petty things in our life that we know the Lord wouldn't do. And we think we can justify and excuse it in our life. What price are we willing to pay to follow in the steps of Jesus? And I can't answer that question for anybody here this morning except for myself. And I believe probably that most of us have some more work to do. I believe that the Lord has called us. He set the example, and we've covered all of this, but He gave us an example, leaving us an example or a pattern that we would know how to live. So how have we been doing? As a husband, how have you been doing? Have you been, if you say, well, Christ wasn't a husband, but He left a pattern of attitude. He left a pattern of love. He left a pattern of self-denial. He left, and we have in the other scriptures, the word being demonstrated and given to us by inspiration of God that as husbands, we would know how to live. And so the question for us as husbands this morning is, have we been following in His steps? If Jesus were married to your wife, would He conduct Himself like we have been conducting ourselves? As a wife, as a mother, are we following the example of self-denial and love and devotion and respect that the Bible teaches us? This is what it means. Children. The scripture says, children, obey your parents. That's what God is calling you children to this morning. To, like as Jesus did, to honor your parents. and respect your parents. If someone frustrates you, and this applies to the children and the adults, we all have frustrations in life, don't we? When we are frustrated or when someone gets on our nerves, that's kind of how we say it, isn't it, sometimes? How are we responding? Are we following in the steps? You know, when people start bickering, if they would just stop and say, is this what Jesus wants me to do? And it seems so basic. But do you know this is what it means to follow the Lord? It means that when I begin to see that maybe I'm starting to, children, if you see you're starting to maybe bicker just a little bit, or you're starting to just be too impatient, that applies to all of us, doesn't it? Just a little bit impatient, we need to stop and say, Lord, am I following your steps? Lord, I need some help right here. I need some grace right here. Folks, this is what we're called to. People, and I found it's easy for people to say that they're Christians. Have you noticed that? You can go to Walmart, and probably, at least right now in our country, a lot of people will tell you I'm a Christian. But remember what it means to be a Christian? What does it mean? Like Christ. So then, Lord, help me to really be a Christian. Help me to walk in your steps. To live like you live. Folks, people do not casually walk in the steps of Jesus. You're not a Christian. I'm not a Christian because I come to church. I'm not a Christian because I know the truth. That doesn't make me a Christian. It doesn't just happen, folks. It doesn't happen by professing Christ and then going and living like you used to live. It doesn't happen by getting your name written in a church book somewhere, or by having parents or grandparents that are saved. To be like Christ, that's what it means to be a Christian. It takes daily. Yes, first it takes a transformed life through the blood of Jesus. But subsequent to that, it does not just happen by itself. If I'm going to walk in the steps of my Lord, it's going to daily take a decision on my part that, Lord, I'm going to have to deny some of the fleshly desires. I'm going to have to deny some of the things that in the flesh I really like to do. I really enjoyed that. It's going to take, and I'm talking to myself here. I'm not preaching to anybody. Okay? This is what I have found in my life it takes. Daily, the things that the flesh is drawn to, the things, and some people don't like, say, well, if I weren't saved, I would. So we need to sanctify that. But the fact of the matter is, aren't we all tempted? So those areas of temptation, those things that we know that we are naturally in the flesh drawn to, but we know Jesus wouldn't do it, every day we have to make some purposes, Lord, I don't want to follow after the things of the flesh. I don't want to walk after my own desires or my own will. I'm talking the fleshly desires, the fleshly will. The responses, the way we respond, you know, every day, I don't know how many, it would be interesting to have the number of responses that we have throughout a day. We have, all of us, every single day, and I imagine getting around for church service this morning, all of us had some responses of one way or another. Didn't we? Just this morning, it's only 11:35, 7. Do you know how many responses we've already given for our responses and how we've been conducting ourselves? Have we been walking the steps? He's not even making major life-changing decisions. But folks, every day, the things that we choose to involve ourselves in affect our relationship with God. The places we go, why does it matter what everybody else thinks about it? Okay? Now there's value. I want to take away from the truth of the value of positive influence. But when it comes down to it, if Jesus were here, would he go where we had been going? Would he involve himself in the things that I say I like to do? Would Jesus do that? There are some hot button, there are some issues that are kind of hot button for people, right? People get nervous. You start talking about dress and where you go and what you watch. You know a simple answer for all of us?
Is to say, Lord, my purpose is to follow your steps. He did no sin. He was careful. He was holy. He was godly. So, folks, that ought to take care of a lot of these issues that sometimes, questions that people have.
What do the saints teach? A better question would be this. What would Jesus do? What would he do if he were in your place where you are living today? What would Jesus do? Where would he go? You know, what would he listen to? You get in the vehicle and turn the radio on. Say, why does that matter? Well, don't let it matter. Don't let what I think about it affect you then if you don't want to. But the question is this. Aren't we trying to please the Lord? And if we don't want to think about that too much, right there it shows that there's something in our spirit that's not right. But what would Jesus listen to? Would he listen to things that I'm listening to? Would he watch things that I'm watching? Would Jesus do that? Would he talk the way I'm talking when something, maybe you wake up, and you know sometimes you wake up and you just don't feel as on top of the world as other times? You can call it cranky. You can call it whatever you want. Renee told me the other day, talking about somebody, said they woke up on the wrong side of the bed. You know what that is? Have you ever woken up on the wrong side of the bed? Come on now. Haven't we all? You can call it whatever you want. I don't care how saved and sanctified you are. But the point is, we're faced with a decision. And there have been times I woke up and I could tell I felt cranky. I mean, I just felt it. It's like, okay, I have a decision now. Am I going to respond that way, or even am I going to allow the Lord to give me the grace that I can still be patient and long-suffering, that I can have a good day, even though when you first wake up, you're just feeling kind of rare. That's how we call it around our house. Renee and I, years ago, we said they're just kind of feeling kind of rare. You know, like a cat? That's a personal thing, but do you know that when you wake up feeling that way, our desires from the Lord, I want to walk in your steps. And there is no need. Now listen, there's grace for this. There is no need for us, if you wake up and you're not feeling good, to use that as an excuse and say, well, it's just one of those days. It may be one of those days in the flesh, but there is grace for us. But it takes a conscious, active decision that, Lord, today I need some help today. I need some grace that I don't feel like I have today. Because when you wake up and your emotions are feeling good, it's not as much an issue of grace then either, is it? That's still the flesh too. So that's why I need grace, how regardless of how I'm feeling, I need the grace of God to work in my life, that I can still be patient, that I can still have the joy of the Lord in my life, but it takes an active decision to do it. Folks, it doesn't just happen. We can come to church sometimes, and sometimes people struggle with that one. But we can come to service and know we can all have love for each other, but then we go home and we're back to living life. We're back to frustrations. We're back to go to work and go to school. We're back to being tempted. We're going back to having decisions to make of what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? What am I going to watch and look at and listen to? The question then is, what would Jesus do? The scripture says in 1 John 2 and 6, it says, he that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. So if we say we are Christians, if we say we are like Christ, the scripture says, so ought you to walk like he walked. So how have we been walking today? And we can fall back and say, yes, Brother Michael, but I was saying 20 years ago, but how have you been walking today? How am I going to walk tomorrow? And I want to say, I can't change the things I did yesterday, folks. I can't go back and rearrange how I walked. I can apologize if I need to. I can make restitution. But the most important thing is, today and tomorrow, what is my choice going to be? So practically in our life, what would Jesus do? Well, the standard. Do you know what the standard is? We talked about that last Sunday, didn't we? What's the standard? It's Christ. Christ is the standard. Holy, pure, loving, uncompromising, full of mercy and truth and all of those things. He is the standard. So what would he do? Am I living, following, and walking in the steps of Jesus? Folks, this is the doctrine. You know what the doctrine is? If you say you're a Christian, you ought to walk like he walked. And if you're not walking like he walked, don't call yourself a Christian or you're a hypocrite. Now, is that that's judgment, isn't it? But do you realize that in our life, I want to judge myself now, see? This is where I want to judge myself, because you can think good of me or bad of me, and it really doesn't change how I've been walking. Because you might not understand. But when I honestly examine my walk with God, how have I been living? And now you don't have to justify it to your husband or wife. You don't have to justify it to the pastor. You don't have to justify it to the congregation. Maintain your integrity with Jesus Christ is part of the message to you this morning. Maintain your integrity. It does integrity. What is it? You do the right thing regardless of who's looking. See, we're talking about living for God now. We're talking about living like He lived. It doesn't matter what I think about you when it comes down to it. I mean, I want you all to think well of me, but you know, if the Lord doesn't think well of me because how I'm living, your good wishes for me won't get me into heaven. That's the point. So that makes it personal then. Have I been walking in the steps of Jesus? It is this that will draw us into a closer, powerful relationship with God, folks, when we are willing to make a decision and say, Lord, today, by your help, I can't do it myself, but Lord, by your grace and your help, I'm going to walk in your steps. I'm going to watch where you walk. And if I see and think about, say, if Jesus were here, would he go there? No, I don't think so, but I don't want to dwell on it too. No, Lord, I'm going to do what you do. Regardless of what my flesh wants to do. We talk about suffering for Christ. This is part of daily suffering or self-denial, saying no to my desires and my flesh. And you may sit there this morning and say, well, you don't really know my situation. Well, you don't know mine either. But what all of us are called to do is to walk in His steps. Follow Him daily. Scripture says in Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, He said, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. Now we're talking about how to walk in His steps. He said, walk in love, as Christ hath also loved us, and given Himself for us an offering, and He gave Himself for us. See, for other people, He gave Himself an offering, and a sacrifice to God, and a sweet-smelling savor. The greatest commandment of all was to do what? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. That's the first commandment. So if we say we're Christians, if we want to follow in His steps, folks, it comes back down. We heard some of this in Sunday school this morning. It comes back down to this foundation of love. First of all, love for God. Loving God above the things I really like to do. Things I kind of like, there are, I'll just mention to you, I'll just be practical here, is that alright? I've mentioned it before. Some would say it ought to be sanctified out, but you know, there are some kinds of music that it draws on my flesh. There's some I like in the flesh, but when I stop and examine and say, did the Lord listen to that? I don't have to think about it too long. That may not be a problem for you. But you might struggle with something else. Or it's not as much a struggle. It was a point of decision. It was a point of decision. I don't have to battle it every day now because I made a decision. But I've also caught myself before. Sometimes I have to come back and say, you know what? Answer still no. Jesus didn't change His mind any. Maybe we changed our mind. Maybe we justify it now. Maybe we think, maybe we've excused it for so long, Now we're saying, yes, Jesus would do it now. He wouldn't have 10 years ago, but now He does. Jesus didn't change His mind, folks. The call is still to holiness and purity, and we need to judge in ourself then the places we go. How does this affect my spirit? You want to know if Jesus would do it? Consider this. When you go somewhere, or when you do something, or when you watch something, or when you listen to something, does it tend to dull your spiritual senses? You don't feel just quite as in contact with God? What would Jesus? I'm not stepping on any toes this morning, because this is where we live. I'm not telling you what to do or not to do. I'm not naming anything out, am I? I haven't mentioned one thing specifically, have I? Generalities, but that's where we live. Would Jesus do it? If Jesus saw it was detrimental to Himself spiritually, do you think He'd do it? He wouldn't. The question is, are we? We're called to follow in the steps, folks. This takes close living. And I will say it takes help from God. That's for another time. But we can do it by His grace. We can do it. He gave Himself as a sacrifice. How much are we willing to give up this morning to walk in the steps of Christ? The Scripture said over in Hebrews, is it chapter 12? Said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, folks, this morning, let's lay aside the things that hinder us. Let's lay them aside. Let's stop and I'm speaking of humans now. But if it's in your life, if it's true, then Lord help us. But let's stop justifying ourselves in things that we know are weights to us spiritually. Why do we continue? I've told you before, have you ever gone to eat and you ate more than what you knew you should have? And you knew that going back for seconds, you knew it was just going to make you, I shouldn't have eaten it. How many times do we do that? That's when I said, how many years does it take? Spiritually, how long is it going to take to realize that these weights, there are things that hinder us spiritually, but we can justify them, we can excuse them, and people go on in their life saying, I'm a Christian, and they know they're not walking in His steps. They have their own brand of Christianity. Folks, the only way we're going to get to heaven this morning is to follow His steps. It's the only way we're going to get there. And it's not now just an issue of sin and not sin. There are areas of caution and carefulness. There are some things I can tell you that it might not be sin to do, but I don't think Jesus would do it because it gets you close to sin. And the closer you get to the world, and the closer you get involved, your affections in things of the world, you're getting closer to the traps that the enemy has laid. I think Jesus, when He sees where the devil's working, He gets as far from him as He can. Isn't that what Jesus did? I'm not talking about He was a friend of sinners. That's right. But He didn't get down in the muck with them. He didn't say, well, I can reach the sinners if I'll get down there with them. No, He got down with them physically to be with them and break bread with them. But His spirit, He kept the high ground. See? This is our call, to walk in His steps, to love our neighbor as ourself. Has anybody ever really hurt you, done you wrong, offended you? How's our attitude today about that person? There are too many people, I remember someone said, well, I've been struggling, it was 10 years ago this person said this or did this. Like 10 years? 10 years and you're not over it. Yeah, there may be some pain, but you know bitterness grows with time. And when someone hurts us, that's the time to come and say, Lord, I can't do this myself. But Lord, I need some help.
And I know that there are places that there is a growth process, but we never give in to bitterness. We never give in to unforgiveness because there's a divine grace for us. But when we consider people that have offended us and hurt us and done us wrong, I can testify to you this morning, there is power with God to live like He lived. There is power for us to go the extra mile. But are we going the extra mile this morning? Are we loving and forgiving? In your life this morning, what would Jesus do? Tomorrow when you get up, I want to challenge everybody this week. And I don't want it to stop with this week. But I would ask you all if you will take this home with you. And everything that you do this week, ask yourself, would Jesus do this? Do you think we ought to do following the steps this morning? The scripture says in Philippians 1:27, it said, only let your conversation be. In other words, your conversation, let your life be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Folks, this comes down then, again, like I said, it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. It's, I am here, my conversation, I want to be becoming to the gospel of Christ. There is a book, I don't know if all of you have read it, it's entitled In His Steps by Charles Sheldon. Subtitle on it was What Would Jesus Do? And in the book, there were those from different walks of life, different jobs, different vocations. And in those vocations and jobs, they took the challenge and they made a commitment that everything I do, I want to follow in the steps of Christ. It radically changed how they conducted themselves on the job. It changed how they viewed people. It changed how they spent their money. I remember in that book, there was a homeless man. Many of you, if you've read it, in the beginning of it, the homeless man came into the congregation. Everybody was in their nice clothes and everything looked so fancy and just so. We got to get things just so. And the homeless man, he said, I heard some people singing in a church prayer meeting the other night. And we have some songs that are very similar. And it says, all for Jesus, all for Jesus. All my being, ransom powers, my thoughts, and all my doings, all my days, and all my hours. Said, does our conduct reflect that song when we leave church? If someone were to want to know what does it mean to follow in the steps, can they look at our life and we come and we sing about all the Jesus I serve? In all my times, consecration, since Jesus gave His life for me, should I not give Him mine? This morning, have we done that? Personal question. Consecrated. My hours, my time, my thoughts, my devotions, the things I do, the places I go. Can I say, this is what Jesus would do? I'm following in His steps. The scripture said, and this be our... I'll get wind this down here. But he said over in Philippians 2, in the second verse, moving down, he said, fulfill ye my joy that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. He said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. I don't care whether it's in the home, whether it's at church, whether it's ministers, whether it's on the job, where you find strife and vainglory, someone is not walking in the steps of Jesus Christ. He said, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And he concluded this by saying, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This morning, do you have the mind of Christ? If you do not have the mind of Christ, there may be some areas you say, I don't know. But we read the other Sunday, I believe it said, Christ will reveal even this unto you. If ye be otherwise minded, The Lord will be faithful to reveal to you His plan and His will. I don't want you to go home under condemnation this morning, but I would that we go home challenged to say, Lord, that's what I want. But let's not go home hypocrites. Let's not go home saying, yeah, well, I'm still a Christian, but I'm living like I want to live. Folks, those areas, those gray areas in our life, you want power with God, ask yourself, would Jesus do it? You children, when your brother, sister, or your playmate starts getting on your nerves, and they're starting to bug you, and they're starting to be a little bickering, stop right there and say, would Jesus do this? Would He do this? No, He wouldn't. We're called to follow His example. And it takes denial of ourself. But this is what our calling is this morning. In our lives, again, parents, have we been raising our children like Jesus would? Spouses, husbands, wives, children. I'll say this, you can go to all the marriage seminars you want. I won't get into whether they're good or bad or right or wrong, but I'll say you can go all you want. But you know what I have found in life and in dealing with marriage problems with people? I have found a large part of the problem falls right here. A large part of it is people aren't following the steps. The basics of what it means to be a Christian. Forgiving, letting go, loving, self-denial. See, that's what makes a good marriage. That's what makes a good marriage. And that's what Jesus calls to. That's the answer to a lot of the problems that people in the world have. In our daily decisions, folks, are we walking in the steps? Where we go? What we do, what we wear, what we listen to, the attitudes that we have to people around us, how we spend our money, how we spend our time. What would Jesus do? The Scripture says, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Folks, what price are we willing to pay? What are we willing, or what are we not willing to give up or to change in our life? I want to say I want to be more like Christ. And I will say, the children sing the song, He's still working on me. I can say this morning, He's still working on me. And I don't want you to go home oppressed by the enemy saying, well, I'm just not there. But rather in your heart, the things that you know that God does want you to change, to know that God will help you. That you have to make a decision that, Lord, I'm willing to pay any price to really be a Christian, to be like Christ, and to follow in your steps. What would Jesus do this morning in your life? What changes would He make?